John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Well, we're going to do that outreach one way or the other. I don't. We'll just keep on. Eventually, it's going to get warm on a Saturday. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. John chapter 12. Look if you would. In John chapter 12, starting at verse 1, says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege to come to church and to be able to just look at your words and hear the word of God preached tonight. Lord, I pray that you will convict our hearts, Lord. Show us what you would have us to see, Lord, about our lives. Point out those things, Lord, that we need to take care of. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, you just open up your words, open up our heart to your words tonight. Help us to hear them, Lord, and help us to do something about it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're so gracious to us, Lord, by pointing out the things that's wrong with us every day, Lord, in the scriptures, if we'll just read. Lord, if we will just look at that mirror that you provided for us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to take care of whatever it is that's wrong in our lives tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the account where a woman anoints Jesus with this precious ointment. It is, had not been long since Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead while in Bethany, an act which actually created quite a stir, not only among the locals, but also among the religious leaders. Jesus was nearing the end of his public ministry, because in chapter 11, verse 55 says that Passover was rapidly approaching. And scripture tells us that after he rose Lazarus from the dead, Jesus knew that the chief priests would be plotting his death. And so he didn't walk openly among the Jews, but instead he went to the city of Ephraim, a city near the wilderness. And then 6 days before the Passover, the time when Jesus would host the Last Supper, right before his crucifixion, Jesus returns to Bethany. Now, everybody needs a place to rest and relax, enjoy the fellowship of friends. And Jesus, on this occasion, when you compare verses of this account to the same account in Mark chapter 14, you'll see that he actually came to the home of Simon the leper. There are many people that believe Simon leper was actually the father of Judas Iscariot, okay? But that's where he's at. He's in the home of Simon the leper. And while he's in that home, Mary's there, Martha's there, and their brother Lazarus is there along with the disciples. Now, Bethany is actually located 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he knew that he had just a few short days before he would face the agony of Gethsemane and the shame and suffering of Calvary. And so we find him coming to the home of his friends to find a few hours of encouragement and support from the disciples, the majority of which he knew would abandon him on the day that he would go to the cross. But while this passage is given to us, gives a historical narrative, we can certainly learn a lot from it, because it teaches us quite a bit about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are 6 things about honoring Jesus Christ that we can get from this text, but we're only going to look at 3 tonight. The first thing I want you to notice about honoring Jesus Christ is that, according to this passage here, what we're going to learn is that he needs to be honored in our homes. He needs to be honored in our homes. Now look, if you would, at verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." So Jesus is so welcome in his home. It's a place where his friends were. It's a place where he felt welcome. It's a place where he could rest. No doubt Jesus at times grew weary. Sometimes people argue back and forth about, could Jesus be tempted? Yes, Jesus was tempted. People say, well, yeah, but God can't be tempted. Yes, but Jesus was. The same reason that he was weary here. Yes, Jesus, it was 100% God, and God can't be tempted. That's true. But he was also 100% man. He was the God-man. And the human side of Jesus could be tempted. The human side of Jesus could feel sorrow and weep. The human side of Jesus could feel weary. And Jesus here, no doubt, he had grown weary. He had looked forward to times of peace. And here he's in a home, as an honored guest. He's in the home of Simon Leper as an honored guest. And the question every Christian should ask themselves is this: is Jesus welcome in our homes? In other words, today, would Jesus be welcome in your home? Would he be comfortable in your home today? And I believe there are many Christian homes today where Jesus would not be at all comfortable to be in that home. Things that are watched on TV, words that are used, attitudes that are displayed, things that are said, a lot of these things I think would offend Jesus. I think a lot of those things would grieve him in our homes today. And though some Christians may say that Jesus is welcome in their homes, I'm not sure that Jesus would feel welcome in that home. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way it is in every Christian home, but I'm sure that there are some homes today that Jesus would not feel welcome at all. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we should strive to have homes where Jesus is always the unseen guest. I spoke to a person one time that told me, he said, in our home, we always leave one chair that nobody sits in at the supper table. And we say that's Jesus' chair, just to remind them that he's present in the home and he's welcome in that home. That's probably a good idea to do. But we should strive to live the kind of lives in private that could be viewed publicly without any embarrassment or shame. Honoring Jesus in your home means some things. It means making the Lord the master of your home. It means if Jesus were to come in your house today, that he would feel right at home. It means that you would not have to spend hours to get rid of things or hide things that you're ashamed of and wouldn't want him to see. It means there's no room, no closet, no drawer in which he could not look. It means that he would have free rein to go anywhere he wanted and you'd have nothing to hide. That's the kind of home that Jesus would feel comfortable in, a type of home where Jesus would feel welcome in. Honoring Jesus in your home means that he would feel comfortable watching what you watch, listening what you listen to, joining in on your conversations, reading the books and magazines that you read. Honoring Jesus in your home means that his presence is always taken into account. Honoring Jesus in your home, husbands, means to treat your wife with love and respect that she's due. She's a gift of God to you. And as your sister in the Lord, whom the Spirit also dwells, you honor Jesus in your home when you love her like you should. You say, why? Because Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You want to honor Jesus, husbands? Then love your wives like you're supposed to. That honors him. That makes it a home where he feels comfortable being in. But it's not just for the husbands, it's also for the wives. Honoring Jesus in your home, wives, means loving your husband as Scripture teaches. It means allowing him to be the spiritual leader and following his lead. It means showing him respect. Jesus was a welcome guest in the home of Simon the leper, and he should be welcome in our homes, and he should feel comfortable in our homes. That's what the text teaches us about this. He's sitting there, and he's sitting there talking to Lazarus. Mary's there, Martha's there, and all these things are going on, and he's home, and he's comfortable being there. He should be comfortable in our homes as well. But then the second thing we notice is that not only should we honor Jesus in our homes, but we should honor Jesus in our hearts as well. Notice, if you would, verse 2 and 3. It says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here we find three different people that are mentioned. You see Lazarus mentioned, you see Martha mentioned, you see Mary mentioned. Now, it's interesting to note that each one of these followers of Jesus had a different way of honoring Jesus. Each one of these people had a different way of honoring him. First, I want you to notice Martha. The scripture says in verse 2, it says, there they made him a supper and Martha served. Now, as you read through the Gospels, you'll find that Martha is pretty much always the one that's busy. She's busy doing something. She's busy serving the Lord. She's busy making supper. She's busy doing these things. And you find it over and over and over that she's given the best of her heart to God through the gift of hospitality. That's how Martha is serving the Lord. Now, hold your place here and turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and kind of see a broader picture of Martha here. Because it seems like every time that you see Martha, that's just what she's doing. That's how she serves the Lord. That's how she honors the Lord, by serving Him, by staying busy doing something for Him. That's how she does it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Jesus makes that very clear. In Luke chapter 10, look if you would at verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now I want you to notice here that what Jesus does here is he commends Mary for the way she's serving Jesus, but he does not condemn Martha for the way she's serving Jesus. He never does that. He says, look what he says in verse 41. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What he was saying was this: Martha, what you're doing is okay, but what she's doing is okay too, and that's where she needs to be. Listen, at this time, Mary chose the good thing. She's at the feet of Jesus. She's there listening to him speak and listening to him talk. He never said, Martha, what you're doing is wrong. He never said that. But he said, listen, don't get to her. She's not ready to do what you're doing right now. She needs to spend some time at the feet of Jesus. And may I tell you that there are people today that want to serve, that want to go out there and start teaching Sunday school class and start to do these different things. But there are some people who just need to spend some time at Jesus' feet first and grow a little bit before they get to that point. There's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. There's nothing wrong with what Mary was doing. And you'll see there in Luke chapter 10 she was serving. In John chapter 12 she was serving. And her way of honoring Jesus was staying busy, and her way of honoring him was serving him. That's what she wanted to do. And so Martha has actually been called the worried housekeeper. And since Jesus was a guest of honor in her home, she wanted everything to be just perfect. And she wanted everybody to get on board and make sure everything was right. And may I say that you don't want to be standing around when a woman gets on a cleaning binge, because she'll put you to work. Amen? I mean, certainly you see that. But for Martha, honoring Jesus meant serving him, doing that which she loved to do, doing that which she knew best, cooking and serving. That's how she chose to honor the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But then I want you to notice the second person there in John chapter 12. He's honoring the Lord too, but he's doing it in a different way. Notice there in John chapter 12, verse 2, it says, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, the scripture simply says that Lazarus was one that was just sitting at the table with Jesus. Now, it'd be easy to read something into this and say, well, it looks to me like Lazarus was lazy. No, he wasn't lazy at all. The specific reason the scripture tells us that Lazarus was one of them sitting at the table with Jesus, while Martha wanted to serve Jesus, Lazarus was simply wanting to enjoy his presence. He wanted the fellowship with him and talk with him and ask questions and listen to him speak. Now I'm going to ask you something. If it were you there that day, you could have served like Martha served. You could have said, hey, Jesus is here. We've got to prepare. We've got to make sure that he's comfortable. We've got to give him something to eat. We've got to serve him. Maybe that's the way you choose to honor the Lord, by serving him in one way or the other. You're saying, I want to stay busy doing that for the Lord. You could be like Lazarus that says, you know what, I do want to serve him, but I'd like to just sit there and talk to him a little bit. Just I'd like to sit there and listen to him speak to me. And I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to get a few answers. There's nothing wrong with that either. You don't see Jesus condemning Lazarus here. You don't see him condemning Martha here. Both of them are honoring Lord, but in a different way. I'm going to tell you this. If the Lord were sitting here tonight, I'm probably going to be one of those that wants to sit at the table with him and say, Lord, I got some questions. You're going to have to help me out a few things. Amen? Amen. But then again, if he's sitting here tonight, if he's here tonight, I have no doubts that some of you would say, you know what? Jesus is here. We need to go do something. He's probably thirsty. Let me go get him a glass of water. He's probably hungry. Let me go do something for him. However you choose to honor the Lord doesn't condemn either one of these people. So you have Martha. You have Lazarus sitting at the table. But then you see the third person, and that's Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And instead of being busy doing something, serving the Lord, doing something for him, and instead of just sitting there and enjoying the fellowship and the conversation with Jesus, Mary moved with the love for the Savior, and she wanted to honor the Lord in a more dramatic way, I guess you could say it. I want you to stop for a moment and just recognize here that there are different levels at which we can honor the Lord. There are different levels which we can worship him, different levels in which we can show him how much we love him. Mary and Martha and Lazarus both loved the Lord, and for them, their response was perfectly normal. But the text shows us that Mary, what Mary felt led to do, went way beyond what the others had done. The scripture says she took a pound of spikenard, which was made from a plant which grows in India, and she anointed his feet with it. It's very expensive stuff. And wiped his feet with her hair, and the odor of the ointment filled the house. Now, I want you to notice several things about what Mary did here in anointing Jesus. First, I want you to notice the obvious, and that is she gave her best to Jesus. She gave her best to Jesus. The scripture said the ointment was very valuable. In fact, it was worth about what an average worker would make in an entire year during that time. Jesus tells us in verse 7 that she had been keeping it for the day for which he was going to be buried. And so she anointed Jesus with the most expensive, the most valuable possession that she had. That's how she honored Jesus. How much do you love Jesus tonight? You know, many people claim to follow the Lord and many people claim to love him, but they've never really gotten to the point to where they're willing to give him the very best that they have. I've noticed today that a lot of Christians like to give the Lord the leftovers in their life. And what I mean by that is this, they'll make time for everything during the day, but then whatever's left over that time, that's when they decide to pray. Whatever's left over that time, that's the time that they decide to give the Bible reading to. No, wait a second. The Lord should be the one that you give the most valuable thing to, your best to. In other words, there's a reason why you should start your day reading the scriptures. Why? You should give him what's his first. In other words, your very best, you give it to him. Listen, your TV time, your time in doing whatever it is that you do that's outside of worshiping the Lord, that can be whatever's left over in your day. Apply whatever you got left over your day to do that and make God the priority. Give your best to him. In other words, if it comes down to you really wanting to do something or worshiping the Lord should come first. That should desire your very best. But there are a lot of people today that are not willing to give him their time. They're not willing to spend time with him in prayer or read about him in the Bible. They're not willing to listen to him speak to their hearts and obey his commands. They may claim they love Jesus, but they don't define love the same way Jesus defines love. Jesus said this. He says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. That's the way Jesus defines love. Jesus says that, listen, he's not saying that keeping the commandments is going to save you. He's not saying that keeping the commandments is going to keep you saved. He's saying this, if you love me, you're going to do what I tell you to do. That's the way Jesus defines love. He was saying, if you really love him, you're going to obey him. You're going to obey him. And if you truly love Jesus like you should, then we would honor him. Have we given our best to Jesus? And if not, what does that say about how much we really love him? Mary gave her best to him. I mean, the most valuable thing that she had, she said, here, Jesus, this is yours. I wonder if we're willing to do that. Second thing, she was also willing to humble herself in order to honor him. To pour a precious ointment on someone's feet is one thing, but to wipe it with her hair, that was a totally different thing. She was giving up her pride, and without respect of what others thought, she was worshiping him and honoring him in humility. Now, I believe this with all my heart, and that is when we come to know Jesus for who he really is, it'll humble us. We'll be humbled in his presence. When we know him and coming, when once we get to where we know him, coming into his presence will not be an ordinary thing. Worshiping him and giving glory to him won't be something that is a matter of routine anymore. Once we get to the point where we love him like we should love him. And the better we know him, the more personal and more humbling our worship of him is going to be. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus that you were led to tears? Have you ever felt him in such a powerful way that you were driven to your knees? I mean, have you ever felt like Isaiah felt when he was in the presence of the Lord and he said, "Woe unto me, for I am undone"? Listen, when Mary walks in there and pours that spikenard on his feet and uses her hair, she understood. Listen, if she's taking that hair and she's rubbing that spikenard on her feet, she's at the feet of Jesus. Have you ever thought about what position she would have to be in to do that? She's got to be on her knees. She's got to be at his feet on the floor. You know what she was thinking? Same thing as Isaiah was. She had humbled herself to the point to where she took that her hair and she rubbed that spikenard into his feet. And you know, and here's the interesting thing is nobody else in the room got it. While Mary was consumed with passion to humble herself and honor the Lord, there were others that loved him and honored him there in the same room who did not understand what she was doing. And that's the next thing I want you to notice about Mary's worship. Mary worshiped despite criticism. She worshiped despite the criticism. In John chapter 12, look at verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Scripture tells us that Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray Jesus, accused Mary of wasting the precious ointment. Ointment which he claimed could be sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Of course, he wasn't concerned about giving it to the poor. He was a thief. He wanted the spikenard himself. He wanted the money for the spikenard himself. But may I tell you tonight that there will always be those around who will say that you're wasting your life and you're wasting your time and you're wasting your money and wasting your best when you give your best to Jesus. They're going to say you're wasting it all. There are people today that when you talk about tithing to a church, they laugh in your face and say, "Why would you do that? That makes no sense to do that." No, that's you giving your best to Jesus. But you know what they're going to say? They're going to say you're wasting that. They're going to say you're wasting your time when you're reading your Bible. They're going to say you're wasting your time when you spend time serving the Lord. Worship, after all, is not for those people. Do you realize today when you worship, you don't worship for lost people? You worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it really doesn't matter what other people think. You should give your best to Jesus. You should spend time communing with Jesus and spending time and listening to him talk to you through the scriptures. And you should spend time talking to him through prayer. You should make your house a place where he's welcome. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks about that. You should worship him regardless of any criticism you give. But you know what the problem is today? People today are so concerned about what the world thinks about things that they get to the point where they're ashamed of the gospel. They're not willing to do what they need to do to show the Lord how much they love him. They're not willing to go out there and tell somebody about Jesus Christ because they're worried about what somebody else is going to think. I'm going to tell you something. Mary could care less what people thought in that house. She came there for one reason, and that is to worship the Lord, and she took her best, and she put it on his feet, and she got down with her hair, and she put that spikenard all over him, all over his feet, and she did not care what Judas Iscariot called. She didn't really care what Mary or what Martha thought. She didn't think what Lazarus thought. She didn't care what Simon the leper thought. She said, "I don't care what you think. This is between me and the Lord, and I'm going to worship him." That's the way we are to be. That's the way we are to be. When you love Jesus like Mary did, what other people say won't matter. It won't matter. All that matters is you demonstrate the love you have for Jesus from your heart. We need to quit worrying about what other people think. There are a lot of churches today that have altered their worship services so as not to be offensive to the lost. But that's just ridiculous. Worship is not for the lost because they don't know the one that we worship. It's something we do for God's pleasure without respect to what other people may think. Mary didn't care what other people thought. She was there to worship Jesus, and she didn't let anybody get in her way. But there's one more thing I want you to notice about Mary's worship, and that's found in the last part of verse 3. Notice there in John chapter 12, verse 3, the very last part, it says, "And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." The scripture said that odor of that ointment filled the entire house. The ointment, the odor of that ointment got into everything. It saturated her hair. It filled the house with its sweet aroma. That's what true worship does. It leaves a scent on you. It leaves a scent on everybody around you. When you're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that aroma of love and that aroma of reverence and that fellowship spreads all around you. It becomes contagious. Even as the aroma filled the house where Jesus was, it fills the place where you're at too. You got to honor Jesus in your homes. We need to honor Jesus in our hearts. And then finally notice that honoring Jesus, we need to honor him when the opportunity is there, when the opportunity is present. Notice in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Then Jesus said, Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Jesus here corrects Judas and tells him that the poor would always be there with him, but they would not always have Jesus with him. And what he was saying is this: he knew that he was getting ready to go to the cross. He also knew that because of the selfishness of man, that there's always going to be poor people on this earth. That's just the way it is, folks. I don't care what kind of stimulus, I don't care what kind of money that people give out, there will always be poor on this earth. Why? Because man is covetous. Man is selfish. And because of that, you're always going to have the poor. And the Lord knew this. And he said, "Listen, you're always going to have the poor there, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to be going to the cross. I'm going to be hung on the cross. I'm going to ascend up into heaven. I'm not always going to be here present with you physically, but those poor people are always going to be there." And what he is saying is this: Mary saw the opportunity to serve him while she could. She saw the opportunity to serve him while she could. And you know what that's showing us? That we need to serve him too while we have the chance. We need to serve him too while we have the chance. We need to come to church when we have a chance. We need to do what we can do for him while we have the opportunity today. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor? We're always going to have the opportunity." No, that's not true. I know people today who are not able to do anything for the Lord anymore. They're able to pray. They're able to worship him, but they're not able to serve him like they once were able to. I've talked to people in nursing homes that have told me, they said, "You know, I wished I had done more for the Lord when I was healthier." But now they don't have the opportunity to do some of the things that they had the opportunity to do earlier in life. And what I'm trying to tell you is this: if you're able to come to church and you're able to do something for the Lord today, do it. Do it while you have the opportunity. Don't wait and say, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow." You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if your health could take a turn for worse tonight, regardless of how old you are. I mean, I think about that Weir family. I mean, they're out traveling east, and all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens, and their lives are changed just like that. Do you realize that could happen to anybody in this room? We have an opportunity to serve the Lord today. We have an opportunity to honor the Lord today. You have the opportunity to give him your best. Don't squander that opportunity. Mary here, she saw that opportunity, and she brought the most expensive thing that she had. She could have waited till tomorrow, but she didn't. She says, "You know what? He's there at that house today, and this is an opportunity. I know he's there. I'm going to go right now, and I'm going to worship him. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity I have today to do it." Don't you know that after he was on the cross, and after he died on the cross, and they put him in the sepulcher, don't you know that she is probably thinking, "Boy, I'm glad I did that when I had the opportunity. What if I had waited and never had the chance to do that for him?" We need to serve the Lord and do what we can do for Him now while we have the opportunity, regardless of what other people may think. Mary honored Jesus when the opportunity was at hand. Mary would not always have the opportunity to anoint the Lord's feet, so she had to do it when the opportunity was there. My question to you tonight is, does Jesus get the honor and glory in your life? Is He welcome in your homes? Would He feel comfortable in your homes? You know, when I read that passage there in John chapter 12, I see Jesus sitting at a table, and it sure seems like He's awful comfortable there. He's sitting there talking to Lazarus, and Martha's running around busy. Mary walks in and anoints His feet. He's there with the disciples. It seems like He's pretty comfortable. Would He be that comfortable in your home with the things that you watch and the things that you do and the things that you say? Is He honored in your heart? Are you doing something for the Lord? I mean, are you serving Him in some way? Are you honoring Him by just spending time with Him? Are you giving your best to the Lord? I tell you this, folks, when I talk to people that claim to be Christian, it sure seems like a lot of people just aren't interested in doing anything for the Lord. I mean, they know they're going to heaven, but they don't ever spend time in their Bible. Well, they're not being a Lazarus then. And they're not really spending a whole lot of time at Jesus' feet. They're not being a Mary. And they're not really serving the Lord, not doing anything. They're not being a Martha. Then who are they being? Well, there's another person that was in the room that day. Judas. Maybe they're not even saved. I wonder about people who don't want to do anything for the Lord. Are you serving Him? Are you honoring Him in your heart? Are you looking for ways to honor Him and glorify Jesus Christ today? It's easy to put a show on for others. It's easy. But is your worship heartfelt? Let's stand.